The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
If you're a student and you're in the building today, I want you to make a paper airplane. I know you're not supposed to do that during church, but pastor's telling you it's all right. Make a paper airplane. How many of you guys have ever had this experience? And I hope you have. If not, then I'm going to feel really weird. You've gone to like a basketball game, an arena, conferences, and before the game actually gets going, somebody gets bored and starts to build, like fold a paper airplane out of something. Okay. I see a couple people shaking their heads. You guys know what I'm talking about. All right. They build that paper airplane and they like throw it and like the whole section cheers for that paper airplane. They like make it all the way across the stadium or all the way down to the floor or on the field. Like everybody is captivated by that single paper airplane that somebody throws and like lets loose and flies. Y'all kind of know a little bit. All right. Good. Just making sure, because if not, I was going to feel really stupid. It's interesting. Those things always fascinate me because, like, I wonder, like, how far, because it seems like it goes forever, doesn't it? And so, like, I'm not good at math, and so I start thinking in my head, all right, well, it's traveling this far this way, but it's also going down, so it's actually traveling, and I start doing, like, trying to do math, like, I know what I'm doing, I don't. And so I'm like, that thing's got to fly, like, quarter mile easy, you know? It's got to. It's flew a long distance. It actually doesn't fly that far, but it seems like it does. And then it got me thinking about this idea of perspectives. From the people in the perspective of that section, that paper airplane flies forever. But then have you ever been across the arena from that paper airplane? Do you even know it was there? No. Like that paper airplane is this small. There you go. You got one. It's not, it's about that big. It's not very big. And so outside of that section, no one even knows in the stadium that paper airplane is being flown. I've never seen ESPN report and say, guys, check this out. People in 103 flew a paper airplane and it went five sections down. Never seen a commentator say that. Because in the grand scheme of what's going on, that paper airplane is so small. It's so tiny. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything at all. And we're going to start a series. I was told, somebody told me that series are good, and I love series. So we're going to start a series. Our series over the next 3 weeks is going to be this: paper planes, paper cuts, and candy. All three of them are going to talk about perspective. And so today we're going to talk specifically about paper planes and our perspective on life. Y'all ever have a paper airplane in life, right? Like it seems so important. Like it's our plans, our ideas. We've got different things that we want to work out just this certain way. And so we have our plans and we have our ideas and we have our, it could be your job. It could be your children. Anybody remember the first time they held their kid? It was like everything was right there, right? I mean, like you had the whole world right there and it just kind of captured you. And that's not a bad thing, but I think that sometimes what we let happen is we let our plans and our paper airplanes become too big. We let them become too important. If we're going to read a scripture this morning, it's in Luke chapter 12, and it's in this. It's not going to be on the screens, so if you have this, you'll have to pull that out, or you can just turn in your Bible, old school, or you can get your phone out and do that too. I won't think you're texting, even if you are. It's in Luke chapter 12, and it starts out in verse number 13 with this. Then someone from the crowd called to the Lord and said, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as this?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed, for life is not measured in how much you owe." And then he told him a story of a rich man that had a fertile farm and produced a fine crop. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." And he said, "I know, I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. Then I will have enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and not have a rich relationship with God." See, I think a lot of times that our plans, they become so big, right? They're massive. When you look in verse number 18, it talks about how he has these great plans. He's going to tear down everything he owns to build it bigger, right? Anybody ever have the Jones syndrome? Your neighbors get a car, you got to get a bigger car. They put up a pool, you got to put up a bigger pool. They do this and you've got to go one step. Anybody, you aren't going to say, anybody ever do that? Huh? You look and they've got the iPhone 13, so you have to get the iPhone 13.5, which I don't know what the difference is, but it's a 0.5, so it's got to be something better. We all do. And the idea is he's got barns, and there's nothing wrong with his barns. He just needs them bigger. So he has this plan, this idea to make it bigger. But it takes a lot of work, these planes. They take a lot of work. When you read again in verse number 18, it talks about how he has to tear everything down. And then he doesn't just have to tear it down, but he has to rebuild it. You and I, our plans, they take work, don't they? Anybody ever just stumble into the job they want? Anybody ever just like happen to like raise the kids that were just like perfect? Just joking. We all like, it takes work. And that's no different from this guy. Like he had to work. He had to tear down his barns. He had to build new barns. And everything that you do in life takes a lot of work. The other thing about his plans, they kind of consumed him. This struck me. Somebody go back and read verse 17 again. No, I'm sorry, verse 13. That may be wrong. Yeah, verse number 13. Jesus, that should say 13, I'm sorry. The guy who stills seeds, feeds 15,000 people with two loaves and five loaves and two fish. There it is. Guy who can heal with the voice, with the sound of his voice. Some knucklehead in the crowd decides that what's really important here, Jesus, me and my brother having this beef over who gets dad's estate. Can you settle this for us? But see, what happens is a lot of times our planes, they consume us. They let things kind of go out of whack. You have Jesus, the very Savior of the world, sitting in front of you. Are you going to ask him, "Hey, listen, can you settle this difference between my brother and I?" But that's what this guy does, because see, what happens is that estate consumed him. It became everything to him. It was his entire focus. It was what he woke up thinking about. It was what he went to bed thinking about. It was when he ate lunch, why he ate lunch the way he ate. Everything he did in life was consumed by this. And the same thing is true for us. How many of you guys ever eat healthy for like 5 days? Anybody eat healthy fast that? It kills me. I can do good for about a week. And then I start being like, "Man, Whataburger. Oh, it sounds so good. It's so greasy. I love it." But like, why do we do that? We eat healthy because we think that somehow it's going to give us a longer life. And I'm not trying to argue with a doctor. It probably will. But why do you use the soap you use, the shower, the way you shower? Why do you watch the shows you watch? Why do you do all those things that you do? Why do you work the way you work? Well, it's because there's this plan, this idea that's out there, and you're going to do everything you can to make sure it happens. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You guys have that, or is it just me? Okay. I've got, before Kelsey and I got married, I had like three kids was our number. It was my number. That didn't happen. Three boys, that didn't happen. And like I had like my plan set out for me. I remember being in high school and thinking if I went through high school and I did this, then I could go to this college and I could do this. And then after I got done with that, I could do this, and I could have this set up for me by the time I was 25. My goal was to be set up in life by the time I was 25. Just to get you, spoiler alert, that didn't happen, because I'm 38 and I'm still not, no, I'm not there. But we have these plans, and what we do is we let ourselves become convinced that these plans will equal greatness. Verse number 19, the guy says, listen, once I get to this, once I achieve this, greatness is next. Verse number 19 says, look, come, take it easy. Eat, drink, be married. You can relax. You've got life made. I remember when I started out, I told you guys, I think the first job I ever had in a church was I cleaned a church. I went up when nobody was there because they wouldn't let me be seen in public, and I cleaned the church. And I was like, man, one day I'm going to work for a church. One day, that's my goal. And so then I got a job working for a church, but it was part-time. And what that meant is that I was at church all the time because nobody else wanted to be at church all the time, but they paid me part-time. And I was like, once I get full-time, that's it. That's when I'll make it. And it's funny because even like in pastors' worlds, in pastors' terms, we all have this moment, this thing that if we can achieve this, we'll be set. That's when we know we've hit it. And it could be something in your work when you get to this position, you get to this level, you get to this whatever it is that you can sit back and you can say, now I've licked it. Maybe it's in your retirement. You say, listen, when I get to the age of 55, everyone can retire at 55, right? Oh, nuts. There goes that plan. When I get to retirement, I'm going to get to that point, and then I'll be able to sit back and relax, and that's when life will be perfect. When I have my first, listen, and I know, but like when I get married, how many of y'all remember thinking that when you got married, life was going to be perfect after that? I did. I was like, yeah, that's all I need. That's what's wrong with me is I don't have a wife. Was I wrong? We think like, okay, then when I have kids, that's when it's going to really, and when I have grandkids, and we have these like milestones where we just think, if I can reach this, that's when I'm going to achieve greatness. And so we have our plans, and what happens a lot of times for all of us is these plans, they consume us. They become our driving force. Like that paper airplane, it takes work, it takes dedication, and what happens is it looks like that is everything, doesn't it? That paper airplane, to those people in that section, to the person who launches it, they can follow it across the stadium, they can watch it as it goes through section after section, as it drops down level after level, all with the hopes and the ideas that eventually that paper airplane is going to make it all the way to the field, it's going to make it to the floor, it's going to make it down there. And what happened is that person lost their perspective. See, our paper airplanes, a lot of times when we view them like this, they cause us to lose our perspective. Verse number 19, the man said, I've stored enough for many years, which was true. He bought himself a few years. What he did when he achieved it, the work, the dedication, all the vision, the focus, all the things that he put into that, they achieved a couple years of prosperity for his life. See, what happens to us is we let that paper airplane become our focus. And when it becomes our focus, we lose perspective on everything else in life. Because what happens the very next verse? The very next verse, God comes and says, you fool, your life is demanded of you this very night. He says, you can have wealth, you can have success, you can have this great paper airplane in life, but in view of eternity, what is it really? Instead, you should have focused on a rich relationship with God. See, a lot of times, and again, I know y'all are the good folks, you're the faithful few, I don't know. I was trying to think of something that rhymed with that. But I got to be honest, like this hits me. Because there are times in my life where, man, and it's different things at different times, but I have this paper airplane and I think that this is everything in life. All life is consumed by this thing, and I put all my focus, all my attention, everything I have, all my work into this. And if I can just have this plan work out, my life will be worth it. My life will count for something. It will matter. It will, something good will come because of that. And so I put all my dedication, I put all my work into that, and it has to pay off, because if it doesn't pay off, it was a waste. I wonder if this guy, when he gets to wherever he's going that night, if he sits back and he says, man, was it worth it? I got a feeling the way you read that scripture, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. I think a lot of times our paper airplanes, they cause us to lose our perspective. And again, we talked about that little airplane that flies. To the person who let it go, it's everything, right? It captures their attention. They can focus on it the whole time. But if you're across the arena, you never even see that paper airplane. It's like it was never there. See, what happens to us is we let these things become so vital, so important, so whatever. We've got to achieve this. But in the grand scheme of reality, of eternity, is that airplane really that important? Let me put it a different way. You guys are all going to live to be very, very old, so we're going to give everybody in here 90 years. You get 90 years with your life. Now, in the grand scheme of eternity, what is 90 years? It's a paper airplane. But in proper perspective, a paper airplane can be pretty impressive. It's an impressive feat when you think about it. Do you guys, I had to look this up. The longest distance for a paper airplane to fly is 252 feet. That's the world record right now. So if anybody gets bored this afternoon, doesn't have anything to do, go measure 253 feet and throw some paper airplanes. And you say, well, that's not really that impressive. That's over 200 times its size. If you take an 8.5 sheet of paper, fold it into a paper airplane, and you throw it, you have thrown that paper airplane over 200 times its original size. That's pretty impressive. See, the same thing is true for you and I. Our lives, our paper airplanes, can be an incredible accomplishment when they're kept in the right perspective. What does that mean? Well, that means that your dreams, your ideas, your plans, the things that you hope to accomplish, all those different things that you put all that work and effort and energy into, they can be a tremendous accomplishment and a great tool for God's kingdom when kept in the right perspective. You guys have the verses there in your notes, hopefully, but 22 through 26, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't even plant or harvest or store food in barns. For God feeds them, and you are far more valuable than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worrying can't accomplish a little thing like that, what use is it to worry over bigger things? See, we let so much consume us. And so there is a proper way to do this, though. That passage in James is one of my favorite passages. He says, James chapter 4, verse 13, 15 says this, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city and spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we will do this, we will live, and we will do that. See, a proper perspective is that you and I have a part to play in God's reconciliation story. Anybody ever heard the scripture, you're part of the ministry of reconciliation? As Christians, you get to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. That term reconciliation intrigues me, because what does it mean? It means to restore to its former state. Well, if that's the case, then what does it mean that I get to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation? It means that I get to be a part of God restoring things to the way that it was intended to be. You get to play a part in restoring things to the way that God intended them to be. your plans, your airplanes, your ideas, all those things are a part of what God wants to use in your life to show other people what reconciliation is all about. All of creation, the only person that has the idea to dream, to have plans, to work for a purpose, humanity is the only one. Do you know why a horse works? A horse doesn't work so the crop will get planted. A horse works either one because you've put a treat in front of him, or two because you've got a whip at his back. Humanity is the only thing in all creation that can work for a purpose. God created you with the ability to work for purpose, to have ideas, to have dreams, to do those things, because that paper airplane that we talked about is a part of what God wants to use to bring everyone in the world back to Him. And so we need to realize that our planes have a role to play in considering what God is doing. Again, you have the verses there in your guides, but the verses that struck me were Proverbs 16:9. A man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then Proverbs 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I love this because it tells me that planning is good. Who's any planners? How many of you guys have like a detailed notebook that has like what you're supposed to? Who goes on vacation with a detailed notebook of what the plan's supposed to be? None of y'all are going to raise your hands. I don't. Oh, but I've got family members who do. They like to have a detailed list of what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do there. They plan fun time, and it's like, how can you plan fun? Like, what if I'm not having fun from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock? What do I do then? I've blown the plan. But I love the fact that God tells us, hey, listen, it's okay to have plans. It's okay to have dreams. It's okay to want to have this. But keep it in the right perspective. Instead of that being your focus, instead of that being your everything, instead of that being what consumes your life, realize that this is a part of it, and God's going to direct your steps. And sometimes when God directs your steps in a different way than what you had planned, it's not an opportunity for you to throw a temper tantrum like a 2-year-old and sit down and pout. It's an opportunity for you to say, hey, listen, God, you've got something different in store. I don't get it. I don't like it. But there's something better on the other side of this. We were talking Wednesday night about the woman at the well. What if when Jesus offered her better water than what she could get from the well, she would have said, nah, I'm good. This water's fine. God, I know you may offer something better, Jesus, but no, I don't want better. I just want what I've got. But how many of us do that in life every single day? We've got our plans, and so when God starts to deviate off of our plans, we start to say, hey, listen, Jesus, thank you so much for that. This deviation, this thing that you're causing to come in here and throw me off of where I want to be, thank you so much for that, but I don't really want it. I know on the other side may be better, but no, not a big deal. Don't want to do that. I want my paper airplane. How many of you have ever seen these paper airplanes and they fly during the game? Anybody ever seen that? How stupid is that? You just paid an outrageous amount of money to come sit in an outrageous seat and buy outrageous food prices, and you're going to focus on a paper airplane when there's a game going on in front of you. Who does that? But isn't that what we do in life? And there's a game going on that God has you playing an intricate part in. He has you, that He needs you to be the best you can be, so that other people around you can look at your life and say, that's what hope looks like. That's what peace looks like. That's what joy looks like. And instead of realizing the bigger game that we're playing, we're like, yeah, God, but I got this paper airplane. Isn't it cool? It can fly 200 feet if I throw it right. Man, we miss so much in this process. The last verse there in Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says this: Sell all your possessions and give them to those in need. This will help you store up treasures in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasures will be safe there. No thief can steal them. No moth can destroy it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This morning, is your treasure your plan? Is it, can I borrow your airplane real quick? Awesome. Thank you. I didn't have the skill to make one of these. So I'm glad, that's a pretty good one too. Is that your treasure? Is this what consumes you? Is this what eats your time, your energy, your effort, your focus? Is how you're going to make it to retirement, how you're going to make it to this day, how you're going to make it to payday, how you're going to buy this, how you have to have these different things, you have to have this, this, and this in life. Is this your treasure? If it is, what that scripture tells me is that this, your love is yourself. You're consumed with yourself. Today, I wonder if you'll realize that your plans, your desires, they're an airplane. They have a cool part to play. They capture the attention of those around us. Again, when that paper airplane is thrown in that stadium, everyone in the section knows it and they focus on it and they realize it and it produces something in them that's great. But in the grand scheme of things, it's just a paper airplane. See, you and I's life, it has the potential, it has the ability to capture the focus and the attention of others around us, and they can look to us to see hope, to see peace, to see love, to see mercy, to see grace, to see all those things. But at the end of the day, my life is just a paper airplane. And so the best I can hope for is that people look at my life and become inspired to do something else with it. Or has your paper airplane taken over your life? It's consumed you. It's caused you to lose sight of the bigger picture. That you are a paper airplane in God's arena of life. That's it. Now, some of you say, listen, I know we're all church folks, but some of you, this is all you have. You don't have a relationship with Christ. And you've never made that dedication. You've never made that commitment. And so this is all you have, literally. This is it. There is no grander arena for you. There is no bigger part for you. There is no eternity for you. This is as good as it gets, is this. This morning, I want to invite you to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because that's when you get to take this, and this gets to be a single part of the great arena of what God's doing in humanity. And you get to be a part of the bigger picture of what God's doing across eternity instead of the 90 years that you may get here on earth. Some of you this morning, you've put everything you have into this. You need to just come and spend some time with God and say, listen, I get it. This has been my focus. This has been what consumed my life for too long. This morning, I'm giving this to you, and I'm telling you that my life and my perspective and everything I do is going to be about glorifying you with it. And so, God, if you can use this paper airplane to glorify yourself, you do it. But I also am not stupid. Some of you are going to sit there in your seat this morning. Max is going to come and sing a song. And what you're going to do is you're going to hold on to your paper airplane tighter than you've ever held on to it. You're going to say, yeah, great, great sermon, preacher. Good job. You're not as good as your dad. Fantastic. But you don't understand what this means. This is everything to me. I understand exactly what that means. That means you love yourself more than you love your Savior. And you'll have to answer for that one day. God, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. God, I know that this may seem like the most ridiculous thing some of these folks have ever heard. But God, I realize that simple things like paper airplanes captivate us. They mean so much to us. And God, they cause us to lose perspective and focus of what really matters in life. Father, for the person that's here this morning that doesn't have a relationship with you, Father, all they have is the paper airplane of 90 years of life, and then that's it. God, I pray that you would speak to their heart this morning to come to know what it means to have a relationship with you. Father, for the one who they're just, their perspective got off temporarily, I pray that you would work in their heart to give their lives, to refocus them this morning, to help them to see things from your vantage point, from your view of how you want us to prioritize, to focus, and to live our lives. Father, for the individual that's going to walk out of here today holding on to this tighter than they've ever before, God, I pray that you use your Holy Spirit to convict their life in such a way that, God, before they come to meet you, they surrender their plans to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.